This is Karen Lyle with a SalesPort Talk Winner of the Week Spotlight with Ian Williams on the line from Great Britain. Ian, congratulations on your fourth Congressional Cup win yesterday. That was an exciting race. How do you feel?
Thank you very much, Karen. It was it was very exciting. Obviously, on Team JC Pindar, we're extremely excited to have won. We had a fantastic team this year. It was actually a slightly new team, but with guys that I've sailed with in the past before. We had Matt Cassidy on the bow, Jim Turner in the pit, and those two guys are also on the team for the American Magic, America's Cup team. And then we had Tom Parry from New Zealand trimming, and then Jerry Mitchell and Richard Sydenham, who are a long-time match race colleagues of mine from the UK. Jerry on the main sheet and Richard doing tactics. So very strong team, and really pleased we could get the job done.
Well, great job on putting together that team. And next on the line, I'm going to have the Commodore of the Long Beach Yacht Club on just for a few words. Do you have anything you'd like to say to her after doing this race at Congressional Cup?
Oh, well, I just want to congratulate Camille and Arlene Toll, who was the Congressional Cup chairman, on running a fantastic regatta again. It's been going 55 years straight. I think the club are rightfully very proud of that. What I can say is we love coming as sailors, and for sure we'll be back next year.
Thanks so much, Ian. I really appreciate you taking the time.
No problem. Thanks, Karen.
Commodore Camille, so I was talking to Ian Williams. He called us from Great Britain, and he said a few warm words for you.
So sweet.
Yes. Well, it's really nice of him to come and compete every year in the Congressional Cup, and he thinks you do a great job as the two-time Congressional Cup chair there. And you're the first woman Commodore of the Long Beach Yacht Club. How does that feel?
Well, I've been a member of the club for 39 years. And it feels like home to me. So now it's just that everybody calls me Commodore, and I keep looking around and go, who are they talking about?
Well, it's a passing title, but it sure has a lot of work attached to it, especially when it comes to running the Congressional Cup.
It certainly does. And it's a title that stays with you forever. You're staff Commodore for life. So it's not like you just do 1 year and you're done.
Can you tell us a little bit about the fourth Crimson Blazer that Ian has and how that works, what the significance of that is?
Well, the Crimson Blazer is synonymous with, like, the Masters Golf Tournament, okay? It's a symbol of winning the Congressional Cup. It's a maroon color, and it has a crest on it that says Congressional Cup winner whatever year.
We'll talk to you next time.
She said, I want Tittle.
Interrupting all programs.
This is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite. Orbiting your living room, cashing in the Bill of Rights. Cuban Army surplus or refusing of the lights. This is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite.
Rick Tittle can usually be found at He Baby Mama House.
Thanks for that. Welcome back to the show, twitch.tv. You got a two shot there. You can see our friend Karen Lyle from Sail Sports Talk. And we've got some guests coming in here, Karen. Let's start off on Skype. We have two simultaneously, Taylor Canfield and Mike Buckley. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How much, just before we start here, how taxing is it to your body to do this sport, and how much of it is it mental, like golf?
Yeah, thanks for having us. We're excited to be on the show, and extremely taxing mentally and physically. And, as we've seen the sport develop into some more high performance sailing, we've seen the side of the physical side of it get much more demanding. So, while we have, mentally draining days on the water, we also come in, very physically fatigued. And, it's important to spend the time in the gym to make sure that we're ready physically to continue on.
Well, Taylor, it's been really a pleasure to see you in the Congressional Cup. You were a three-time title holder. But you lost your title to Ian Williams this time. But you came in third, and you're a new member of the Long Beach Yacht Club going for America's Cup, right?
Absolutely. You know, we were actually, this is my, I've won four Crimson Blazers in the past, and I was competing for my fifth this year. But yeah, you know, definitely disappointed, but, you know, representing Stars and Stripes USA and Long Beach Yacht Club, at the Congressional Cup as well. And as well as, you know, continuing to represent them well, hopefully in the America's Cup in 2021 is a huge goal of ours. So, yeah, disappointing loss, but, you know, in the end, we had some great takeaways and, you know, sailing with some potential teammates that, you know, will move forward with Stars and Stripes USA.
Well, Mike, you're also, were the tactician aboard the Congressional Cup team, and are you also a part of the team for the America's Cup Stars and Stripes team coming up?
Yeah, I've sailed with Taylor and the team the last, I guess it's been three Congressional Cups in a row as tactician. Time flies. Taylor and I founded Stars and Stripes USA together almost 2 years ago now. It started as a dream to go to the America's Cup, and it's turned into something real, a tangible thing that we work on every day. And as we build out this team and fundraise and find sponsors and so on and so forth. It's been fantastic to work with Taylor on a daily basis.
Well, now the America's Cup is in 2021, and I believe that Taylor, you're also part of the USA team for SailGP coming up here in San Francisco on May 4th and 5th. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, it's a great series, and you know, SailGP is an awesome opportunity to, you know, continue to do more foiling and develop my foiling skills and really make those, you know, difficult decisions at high speed. So, you know, just using that as a training platform, you know, to continue to develop skills to move on to the America's Cup.
Now, you were sailing on a monohull in the Congressional Cup, but you'll be sailing on a catamaran in both America's Cup and also in SailGP. Is that, what's the difference between those two for you?
Yeah, the monohulls, the Congressional Cup is, you know, just a very classic match race event. It's one of the most prestigious events in the world. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to, you know, get to sail in nine of them at this point. But, you know, in the end, the America's Cup will still consist of, you know, it will still be a match race between two boats. So, you know, it's a great platform to continue to develop our match racing skills. While the boats are, you know, a lot different than what we'll sail in the America's Cup, you know, it's still an amazing event with some of the best sailors in the world. And, you know, there's definitely a lot of crossover for, you know, the match racing side of the game that we'll see moving forward into the Cup.
One of the things about sail sport is that you as players are really all friends, even though you're competing with each other. And sometimes you might find yourself competing with someone, and then another time you might be on the team. How does that work for the, you know, the relationships and sportsmanship that you have to maintain to keep that flow that happens?
I think that it's really no different than any sport. In professional sports, we see it all the time. You watch the greatest athletes in football or basketball. The level of respect they have for their competitors is as high as it gets. And they all know that at the end of the day, they could be traded at any moment or be on a different team the following year. And it's important to keep good relationships with people. That's just kind of a general fact of life. When we get out on the water, we're, you know, we have the killer instinct and want to beat everyone we sail against. And when we get on shore, usually we leave it on the water, and you certainly have your rivalries with certain people and things like that. But for the most part, everybody's friends, and it's fun to go out and race against your friends.
Well, Taylor and Mike, we really appreciate you coming on the show and talking to us about your experiences in sailing. And we're going to hope to follow your careers as you continue to race in the upcoming SailGP race on May 4th and 5th. That's for Taylor as part of Rome Kirby's team. And Mike, you and Taylor together for the America's Cup and for all of the trials that happened before that time in training. We really are rooting for you and hoping that everything goes well.
Yeah, thanks so much, Karen. We appreciate you having us on the show. And yeah, please do follow Stars and Stripes USA, you know, moving on. You know, we'd love to have the support and the fans, and you know, looking forward to, you know, talking to you again in the future.
All right, great stuff. Yep. And right now we're going to, thank you, Taylor and Mike, we're going to connect with another guest here. But it's interesting, Karen, when you talk about dual hull and single hull, because, you know, I think most of us sort of picture a traditional boat with, you know, one hull. But those catamarans, they go much faster. And then this is how we get these, as we would say, on two wheels, like getting up on a, you know, tipping up on one. And that's the funny thing is about this, when you tack and you race like that, that is a huge thing to consider about the weight. I mean, getting everybody on the right side back and forth one way or another is it's tantamount to victory or defeat.
It's true. And the teams are very highly trained in being able to work together through verbal cues and nonverbal cues, because you're out there and the wind's blowing. You can't necessarily always have a quick response time if you don't know what you're doing. And everybody is training to get together and do it the best way to act in unison on that team.
We're now joined from Antigua by Allison Sly Adams. She is president of Antigua Sailing Week. And Allison, you, correct me if I'm wrong, you had a corporate job, high stress, and then you were able to say, forget all that, and you've made this new life for yourself. Pretty cool, huh?
Hi. Yeah, I swapped out the high pressure corporate stress job for a high pressure sales stress job. Yeah, nothing much changes. But I'm in the Caribbean. So that's great.
Well, it's beautiful weather out there in the Caribbean during this sailing week that's coming up. And I think you're having, what, 1,500 boats participating? This is a huge event and it's been going on for quite a while. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. The first event was in 1968. The precursor to it actually was a race between Antigua and Guadeloupe in 1964. So that took place for about 3 years, and each year that the fleet grew, and they would sail down to Guadeloupe, then stay overnight and sail back again. And in 1968, they said, you know what, we've got more racing we could do around Antigua. So they added on a few days, and then each year the event morphed until it became a full week of racing, which is what it is today. And, you know, it was one of the very first regattas of its kind in the region. And, you know, still to this day, it's got that cachet, and it's got, you know, it's a real bucket list event for a lot of people.
Where do people come from to race in this sailing week?
The whole world. I mean, literally, the big countries that are represented would be the United Kingdom, the USA, Germany. They're the three biggest markets. But we've got fleet coming in from Australia, Poland, South America, literally, you know, the whole world, Europe, Italy, France. We normally have a representation from at least 25 countries. So a really international event. And then, of course, there's the regional sailors. And in fact, the Antiguan sailors are probably some of the most competitive people we have there. And they know the waters really well. So a lot of the fleet really see that, you know, they're coming to beat the Antiguans.
You also have a youth to keelboat program. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Actually, last year was the first year that we launched the program. And it came out of a conversation at a conference. We were part of an organization called the Caribbean Sailing Association. And the Caribbean Sailing Association is actually the owner of the rating rule that we operate under. And each year we have a conference, and that conference has developed in the last 10 years to become not just talking about the regattas and the rating rule, but also sailing development and how we could support growth of the sport. Five years ago or so, we were all concerned about how are we going to get new sailors into the event and support their development from dinghy into keelboat. We got a lot of youth programs across the islands, and many of those we saw, which I think is a similar thing around the world, where you get kids coming up to a certain point and then they go off to school and you kind of lose them for a few years. So in Antigua, we have a school called the National Sailing Academy, and that literally has 150 kids a week who go to sail, and it's part of the national curriculum. But a lot of them are not from the sailing villages on the island, so they've not got that natural network. So what we did was create something called the Youth to Keel program, where the kids get the opportunity to go out sailing on one of the boats that is racing in Antigua Sailing Week. And obviously get to experience the regatta for the week, get to be part of the team, get to understand what's required of them as a crew member, and have a fantastic week. So last year, year one, we had 13 youths on board, and we had our own youth team also who were racing a Cork 1720, and they actually won their class, and they were up against the UK team on a similar boat. This year we've evolved the program again, so it looks like we're going to have about 45 youths out on the water. So we're going to have, you know, probably about 40% of the fleet is going to have a youth on board that is an Antiguan youth. The other thing about it is the sailors themselves that come from overseas absolutely love it. They love to see, you know, supporting the island in that way. So it's a really nice networking opportunity for everyone.
Well, and that's one thing that people can see is how open the sailing community is to people with skill and who are willing to learn skill, and even giving them opportunities to start out like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and it's been a really great program. And obviously, from the point of view of Antigua, sailing is really, really important to the economy. And the academy is doing a great job in building more sailors and getting more youths into the sport, and basically giving them and opening up their options, you know, in terms of careers. And that's really, we had a recent meeting with a number of coaches across the region. And this was, again, under the Caribbean Sailing Association hat. Because we're looking at doing some work with the coaches to kind of re-inspire them and retool them with different ways and different approaches to training and teaching. And they, you know, really, sorry, I lost my thread. They basically came together and said that the number one reason in the region, if you do a straw poll across all the islands, to get involved in sailing as a youth is career first rather than leisure or sport. So really, really important to us as an economy.
That is Allison Sly Adams, president of Antigua Sailing Week. Allison, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thanks, guys.
It's a pleasure having you with us.
And thanks to our guests, Taylor Canfield and Mike Buckley. It's Rick Tittle and Karen Lyle with Sail Sports Talk, brought to you by Piano Finder, supporting music and sports and rebuilding great pianos in the San Francisco Bay Area. Karen, great to see you. We'll see you next week.
We will see you at 9:37 a.m.
Thank you, Rick. Come on back.